I live in Ballybofane, Stranola, and the noise over the weekend was crazy. At stages, I didn't know the difference in the thunderstorm and the noise of cars. It's all so unnecessary, and I'm a big rally fan. Another Greg just tuned in. You need to split the two events here. The rally is not the same as the car cruises, which are the bulk of the noise and the crowds in the town. Another, it's one weekend. Get over it. I wouldn't look at the rally as if it was passing the front door of the house, but let them enjoy the weekend regardless of what people say. The rally does bring finances into the county. Just ask the people letting out their houses or rooms or indeed the local GEA club. Some people just look for the negative in everything, and I know there is noise and rubbish, but try to be positive if you can. Thank you, Barry. Another, the rally is not worth having. The only people who make money are the pubs and dozens of chip vans who clear off afterwards and don't pay a penny in rates or taxes. I live in Finn Valley, and it seems that some stages of the rally were held here. Modified cars travelling up to 120 kilometres per hour in 60 zones. I did not see one guard during the whole weekend. Modified cars are not insured, and I would request that you ask the sergeant tomorrow how many cars were seized for being modded and therefore not insured. Now, if you notify your insurance company, then your insurance, they would be insured, I imagine. Anyway, ordinary law-abiding people avoid Letterkenny during the rally, so don't tell me the rally generates millions. What about the money lost by these shoppers? My daughter works in Letterkenny. It's normally a 25-minute journey at the weekend. It took almost 2 hours. The rally attracts too many of the wrong type, who have no regard for the decent people of Donegal. The Gardaí did not appear to be interested in keeping the race in its place. It's downhill spiral, which in my opinion will destroy our reputation as a holiday resort. Another, I can't get over all the people giving out about the rally. I was in Letterkenny on Saturday, not for the rally, but to shop, and all I saw was young people in their cars having a bit of fun. They were all in great form, and I'm over 60. Let the young people have fun live. Fun, because life is too short. Another, there are two separate events happening. The rally and a modified cowboy racer meet up. All the problems around Letterkenny are related to the latter, and it's completely unfair to the rally organisers organisations to be blamed for all. Now, I'm trying to not blame, but I'm getting a bit of hassle for that, saying I'm pro-business and pro-that, and I'm not, and I'm not sensitive either, and I want you to express any views that you have. And also as well, this is your platform. So the lines are open right now for you. If you are really for it or really against it, come on the radio and discuss it. I'm not here to argue with regular listeners either, by the way. Your views are very much respected and aired and platformed here. 07491 25000. Don't feel you don't be frustrated by something you hear when you can come on yourself and get your point of view across. It's one weekend, Greg, put up with it. No fatalities or serious injuries, and all went pretty well. That for me is the priority, to be honest with you. That, and I said it on Friday, that we're not waking up on Monday to a tragedy. One group of people who don't get half enough praise over rally weekend is James, Naaman, Russell and the team from Glenard Plant. Seeing firsthand the absolute disgusting state the main street is every night, and they have it all cleaned up before all businesses open in the morning. Well done to them. Right, okay. And still they come in, and we're going to have to keep reading them out over the next hour because there's so many of you wanting to get involved in the conversation. Brendan Devaney, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Good stuff. Listen to some of the commentary on the weekend. I like the dynamic between you and Martin, actually. It's interesting.
Just falling in for the big guy. It was brilliant game to be at. I was only thinking, Greg, the last one I did was, I only did one previous in my life, and it was a Roscommon game. And listen, I didn't really enjoy it, but then the game was so poor. It was only then I was chatting to Kieran O'Donnell yesterday. He was talking about that it was obviously an exciting game. It was end to end. So it took me a while, I think, to get into it. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was brilliant to be there and brilliant for Donegal football. It gave me such a lift. This team is, the turnaround has just been magical, you know. Fair play to the lads, the shift they put on, the management. It was such a brilliant day, such a great buzz out, the supporters out in the pitch in Healy Park after all the players were in top form. Greg, so where we were, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks ago to where we're at now, it's phenomenal, the turnaround.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting, and there's so much more besides, and there's great success for the ladies too, and we'll get through that, and I'll have to bluff it because I don't have any idea what you've got coming up in the programme, but I think I can guess. What kind of stood out for me in that Donegal game, and as I say, I am an armchair fan, never claimed to be otherwise, was there was a wobble, right? And I think it really came after the substitution in the second half when McBurtry came on. But there was a wobble that normally you go, oh boy, here we go. But there was a resilience there to weather that. And that was one of the things that stood out a little bit for me as an expert. Am I on to anything there?
Yeah, I think, Greg, if you think back to the Derry game, when a lot of people didn't give us much of a chance in that match. You know, we played a good half against Clare. We'd obviously lost to Down. So people were saying where Derry were at, they were just completely outplaced. That wasn't the case. And when the wobble came against Derry, when Derry got the goal, we responded in that game and we never ever stopped playing. And there's some kind of fortitude that's really come into the lads that wasn't there during the league. And I suppose when things go bad, they can go very bad. And there were so many injuries and things happening. And obviously the manager stepping down and et cetera, et cetera. You had all this bad news in Donegal. So they've managed to turn that round. Now, why that didn't happen, I suppose, in the six-week block leading into Down, I'm not too sure, because this is like a completely different team now. And I think just from last year, and we don't want to keep harping on about Michael Murphy now, but certainly the way our midfield and our experienced players and our central players had to kind of start to dictate for Donegal, that took such a while to bed in. But now, along with them and all the young players, and literally you could mention everybody in the team, but really the young players come on, even the likes of Kern and McColgan and these boys and young Doherty come on the last day. The shift that they put in as young lads, and then the absolute up and down the pitch ability of, you know, Owen Bam was phenomenal. And particularly I think Darrell Boyle and Jimmy Brennan, I don't want to pick players out, but I think the where they went to in terms of what they did for the team, you know, they stepped up to another level. And I think that on the back of, listen, I could name the whole team. It was absolutely phenomenal out there.
We talk about what's changed, and I go back to that conversation you had with Patrick McBurty, and also to every time he speaks publicly, he uses it as an opportunity. And I don't know if the leadership's coming from him or what have you, but even speaking after the game yesterday, he was very pointed in his remarks, even though we paid some of the game and ran around and what have you. But he still had the presence of thought to talk about some people decided to walk away from Donegal, and fair play to them. But the people that are left, and I'm paraphrasing him here, want to play for Donegal, and they're proud to pay for it. Now, I don't know if he was making a point there as well either. I don't know. It was Michael Murphy asked him the question, but I presume he wasn't talking to him. He wasn't talking about Michael. But anyway, I just thought it was really important that he said, or what he came across as important, that the people that are there, the squad, are incredibly proud and they want to do as well as they can. And they're kind of like saying, you know, F the begrudgers, if you know what I mean. They've always had confidence. They've got the league behind them and they know what they want to do. Is there something to that?
Yeah, I think it's Paddy's nature. Listen, you know, me and him had a few words, I suppose, after that Ross Common thing. We had them out in the pitch just about that interview. Now, I said to him, Paddy, it turned my stomach to ask you about that. And he was on about negativity in that. And I was like, Paddy, sometimes you cannot but tell the truth, you know, what you see and what you get. I said, listen, I'm completely enthused by this. I mean, you would have heard it in my commentary, Greg. I'm a freaking huge Donegal fan. I'm mad to see the boys do well. But that doesn't mean that when things are going bad then, and you have to be some way critical in that, you know. So you probably have to understand the two sides of that. But certainly Patrick's nature, he is quite bullish about that.
I think you played an important role in that conversation, because as you say, you were respectful. You clearly didn't want to go down that line. But you know what? Yeah. If it lights a fire, if it tightens the sinews in the neck, hey, whatever it takes. But you weren't disrespectful. But you know, if part of proving you wrong is the motivation, hey, we'll take that.
Happy days. Listen, he did say a few things to the press last night there, and some of them were a bit taken aback. But I said, lads, his blood's up now. He's just come on as a sub. He's probably mad to be more involved in the action. He's probably firing off. I said, listen, that
I love
shows
it.
A bit of spirit.
I
wasn't in any way worried. And anyways, you know, we all love football, but sometimes I suppose it can be hard to understand the criticism. But listen, you have to be real as well at times, Greg. But as I said to Paddy, listen to DL debate. Listen, I'm always positive.
Did he say he listened? And anyway, come here, another thing too.
He said he hadn't time.
Come here, Patrick. He probably listens to the 9 till noon show. Hiya, Patrick. I'm one of your biggest fans. I'll say one thing. Those fellas, and particularly the young fellas, and it's the same with the women, we'll talk about them in a second, they go on to that pitch to play a sport that they love. They have feelings too. They feel all of the criticism. I'm not too worried about the feelings of journalists. No harm, be it my feelings or anyone else's. Suck it up, lads and lassies.
Yeah,
it's all part of the game. But those boys and girls have to put up with an awful lot of personal criticism that their families hear as well. So, and they're not somewhat anonymous either or a byline. So you know what? We'll, as long as we get to where we're going, we'll all be all right.
Yeah, listen, Greg, totally agree. There's a balance there, but certainly for people like me, it's not a wild time for Patrick. You know, when he first burst the scene, I used to text away at him and, you know, try and give him a bit of encouragement and advice and all that. So now I'm in a different kind of place where you're judging football in some way, but it's always from as much as a positive angle as we can. It's just things in that time, particularly up Roscommon, Greg, where I couldn't grasp to anything that was positive.
Yeah.
But listen, as you said, Donegal have completely turned this in their head. They went into this group. No one was giving them a chance. It was whether it was going to be Derry or Monaghan, one or two. So the fact that Donegal's been able to produce a performance against Monaghan to that, going 5 points up in the game against a Monaghan side, you know, completely destroyed Tyrone in the second half, should have beat Derry.
But man, Monaghan were lackluster, weren't they? They were like, there was periods watching that game and I was thinking if there were a top four team in there, we would have struggled. Monaghan didn't seem to. But can I just go back to one other thing that Patrick McBurtie said as well, if you don't mind, and then we'll move on. Because you talk about context. And again, this is why I think he's a very clever guy. Don't know him at all. But he did give context. He says, look, in that game, I think it was against Derry, we were without 10 players. So if you're writing about it, there's the context. Now, you did say that, and you have said that. This is not you versus Patrick, and not suggesting that for a second. But he did give context. He says, well, like, what I heard from him, and I could be wrong, is, you know what, if you're going to criticise us, at least criticise us in the context that what team could be down 10 players that started against Derry in a previous game and be at the same level. I that's what came from his comments to me anyway.
Yeah, and listen, Greg, I don't feel the need to say that because we've been saying that so much that for Donegal, in terms of everything that's happened and the players that retired and the players were injured, no county could deal with that. But that's why I'm so amazed and so proud of the boys. Somehow, the management and the lads have now dealt with that in terms of they're back competing. The big thing when we got into the championship, Greg, was could we even compete? And I think in that Derry game, even though we lost, I was in top form after because I thought we were in that game. And, you know, you're talking even about the likes of Michael Langan that got injured the game before. If he was even in the mix, you thought maybe we could have taken Derry. So when Andy Monaghan, you're thinking, right, we matched up the Derry. Monaghan seemed on a similar kind of level. Would they just have enough for us? Maybe as the game entered the latter stages, maybe they would open us up. That didn't happen. We bossed the game. So, I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal from our guys and massive respect. I can't wait now for the quarterfinal. Greg,
what do you think of that?
It's Tyrone at home.
I mean, do you salivate at the thought of that or would you like to have seen? I mean, it's well rehearsed, this match. There is home advantage there. I mean, are you happy with that or is there another name you'd like to have seen pop out?
Listen, you're never going to shy away from anything, Greg. That's number one. The whole championship was turned on its head at the weekend by nearly all underdogs winning. So all the teams that were supposed to be in three, and most people were saying that was us as well, ended up in two. But then the teams that you thought were potential All-Ireland contenders, they've ended up in three, the likes of Tyrone and Mayo and sides like that. So everything changed, Greg. Now, after the way we played against Monaghan, there's no reason at all. Listen, if you had said to me after the down game you're going to end up playing Tyrone in a knockout quarter final, I'd have said, right, we're in trouble. That's all changed now. We're back now at a level where you can say we're going to go and beat Tyrone. And that's what these lads and I say Aidan and Paddy and the management and the whole background team have done. So, listen, we're at home, Greg. Derby, it's going to be a packed house. And Donegal people now can get out and really get behind this team, right? Because they've been in some shift this last couple of weeks to get back on track.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Talking about turnarounds, great win for the women.
Listen, again, Donegal GA, from all the stuff we were speaking weeks ago.
It was a write-off, wasn't it? It was a write-off.
What's happened? I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, phenomenal. I mean, Maxie Curran and all the girls that stepped away, they've all slowly come back. I mean, Geraldine McLaughlin, there's no word of this. She's in there at the weekend, came on sub. So Donegal are almost back up to full complement. They beat Waterford, very important to win your home games. They've beaten Waterford now at home. They're in a great position now to go on and try themselves to get into a quarter final, Craig. So listen, the Donegal GA is pepped up. Of course, we're all hurlers got right into the Nicky Raggart final, unfortunately, just coming up short in that. So, fantastic. Listen, even Fergus McGee out there, the chairman, absolutely buzzing in Healy Park after the game. You know, the county board, everybody's been under so much pressure. There was this huge lift, and the teams now have given us this lift. So, yeah, throwing it home. What more could we want, to be honest, Greg? They're the days that you live for in football. It's going to be an unbelievable occasion.
All right, what else is on the show? So you're going to be right across those two and looking forward as well, all of that action. What else is coming up?
Desi Moan's going to be on the show. He's going to be crying in his super. Desi, former Monaghan legend, great fella. He's going to be coming on to give us a perspective on his lads. As he said, were they not up to the mark against their boys? We'll see his views on that. Dickie Bogue's going to round up the whole All-Ireland series. First, he's a top GA correspondent, and Shane Walsh, current Galway star and one of the best forwards in the country, he actually is coming on for give us a few words on where he's at this season and where Galway are at, because of course the Armagh boys turned him over at the weekend. So Shane Walsh is on the show as well. That's all coming up this evening. We'll have reaction from, of course, the management, the ladies, and the Donegal camp as well. That's all up on Highland Radio. com if you want to tune in and see that. So we'll be reviewing all that this evening, Greg.
Right, you're really digging into the contacts book. Well done. Good man. And you got and is Oshin in the back seat with a gun to your head talking about the website. Listen, you're a real company man now, aren't you?
I'll get a pay raise.
Very good. Come here, and we're going to talk about your recent trip as well in a separate format. Thanks for that, Brendan. Take care of yourself. Brendan Devaney there, the DL debate there, supported by Sister Sarah's. Our Monday focus. It's going to be a brief one today because we've so much to get through. But we're joined in studio by Pamela Reid from the Kilmacrenan Freuger Club. Good morning to you, Pamela. Thanks so much for coming in.
Good morning.
Right, okay. On Saturday the 24th of June, you're holding a fundraising disco in the Mulroy Woods Hotel in Milford. This is going to be kind of good fun, isn't it? Mm. 80s and 90s with DJ Bosco. What's it all for?
So basically we have back... when the schools closed for COVID. The day the schools closed, there was myself and three other ladies, mothers, should I add, decided to set up a youth club in Kilmacrenan. So we were challenged with COVID, first of all, but we managed to keep it, get it up and running. And last year, myself and two other leaders went and got training for Leadership of Life programme. So basically, we rolled out that programme, and we are delighted to say that 11 of our students managed to get accepted into Maynooth to do module 2. So they've completed module 1 with ourselves down in Kilmacrenan, and now they will be travelling to Maynooth now in the end of July.
Great. Did you expect it to, from those initial conversations and meetings, to develop quite into what it has?
Not whatsoever.
I didn't think so. In a good way.
So basically the cost of getting the kids to Maynooth is like 300 per child. So it's over 3,000 we're looking for. And obviously we can't, just the times that are in it, you know, to go and ask families to pay that kind of money is a lot. Mm. So we've come up with a plan of having an 80s, 90s disco and... Well, I'll call it the Milford Inn, but it's Mulroy Woods.
I know exactly. So this is part of a fundraising to fund these scholarships, are they? Or what would you describe?
Yeah, basically, So basically, it's a Leadership for Life, and when they complete it, which there's three modules in total, they will get their certificates out of Galway University at the end of it. So it will help towards, you know, entering college if that's what they wish to do later
You guide me on this, okay? But with the age group, they're 15 to 18. Is this alongside the studies that they're currently doing, or is this giving options to people who maybe don't fit in as well as others do into the school system, which I didn't, by the way. So I can say that.
I hear you, Greg.
I can say that with confidence.
So this is alongside of their day-to-day schoolwork. This is an extracurricular activity, which I suppose there's a lot of kids out there that are into GAA and football and rugby and, you know, have a lot of sporting. The children that are with us are maybe just not so sporty. Don't get me wrong, some of them do play sports.
No, I know what you're on about. Yeah, but
you know,
the real passion may lie elsewhere.
Exactly. And it's just to help those children that are with us to just develop their skills and their interests. And we do a lot of different things on club nights, like making pizzas, the older ones tend to relax, the younger ones are full of energy and kicking the ball about and stuff, you know. But it is a good outlet for them outside of the school that don't have the sports. So having come up with the idea of the 80s, 90s disco, I just wanted to put it out there that we like would love everybody to come along and support it.
Yeah, indeed. Now, just one more thing on these young people as well. It's not just an investment in them either, because, you know, hopefully they live and settle in the Kilmacrenan area. They will be tooled up, hopefully, to benefit their peers or the community or what have you. It's there's a benefit there as well, beyond their personal benefit, presumably.
Absolutely.
Well, we hope anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So the module one has them coming up with their plans for the community, and they will link with Smart Villages now for module three. So basically, they'll go now to Munis and they'll learn how to do research and stuff, and then they'll come back and they'll do module three within the community and roll out, hopefully develop their ideas. Some of them, one in particular, they want to do a fundraiser to get Christmas lights for Kilmacrenan and then get the community out to help put them up for Christmas. It's simple, but it's
fresh set of eyes, fresh enthusiasm,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So the program enables young people to identify their strengths, develop a leadership vision, understand their leadership style, explore the challenges and difficulties of leadership, and so on. Apply methods of conflict resolution, complete a project as you've outlined there. In one instance, it's something that greatly benefits the community and brings joy to so many other people. Right, so use our fundraising to send these young people on to these courses. So 80s and 90s discos. I'm a bit young for this.
I didn't laugh.
Not only did you laugh, but you almost fell out of your chair.
You never.
All right, 90s then. All right, the 90s. Yes, I remember the 90s. But come here, you've got DJ Bosco. There's a couple of sort of throwback discos that have been happening around the area lately, hugely successful because people are nostalgic and they still want to go out and listen to the music that they like. I would love to see clubs cater. The way it is now, it's like if you're over 21, you're on the scrap heap almost. It'd be great to have an environment where people of all different ages can go and enjoy the same music.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But anyway, that's just my opinion. Right, so talk to me about the night. What's planned?
So basically, on the night, well, we have a link for Eventbrite where you can buy your tickets online. And then the doors will be opening at 10 o'clock. John will be there blasting out the tunes, all being well. And we have had a few inquiries about food. Are they going to do their chicken and chip box? So I have to speak to Mulroy Woods about that, which I'm sure there'll be no problem whatsoever. And I do believe there has been a few areas where they've organised their own bus to get there and back.
Great.
So back.
So
in the
buy
day
the
that,
tickets and support them, but go.
Oh, go.
Yeah,
surely go.
We want to fill
the house.
And just sorry, I want to say one thing as well. In supporting these young people, 11 of these young people, they've already passed their level one in the Leadership for Life program.
Absolutely.
So they've already done their bit of commitment to show that they're in for it. So this is about supporting them on to level two and three. Yeah. So it's not just, we're not dragging them off the street here. Yeah. These are young people that already have the interest. So
Absolutely.
You get a great night out, boogieing to 80s and 90s, having a snack box, chicken and chips. We call it a snack box. It's up to you. And just having fun. Getting dressed up.
Getting
and I think a lot of people get dressed up for these, don't they, in the era?
People have messaged me, asked me, is it are we dressing up? And I said, it's absolutely optional. Because I know some
I can
people
see you
would
in
be
a
like,
neon headband or something.
Absolutely. And the leg warmers.
Purple tights.
And the fishnet tights.
But that's the kind of fun people can have.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because
yeah.
you're not going to look out of place. You know
Absolutely
what I mean?
Not. Absolutely
so,
not.
And you can have a lot of fun, and people have great, great memories as well. It's going to be the full works. It's a fundraising disco in the Mulroy Woods Hotel in Milford. It's 80s and 90s with DJ Bosco. And when is it on, actually? I'm looking through
this
here.
This Saturday, the
so it's coming
24th.
This coming Saturday. So
this
it's all very
Saturday.
Exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, how do people book tickets to get along?
So we have a link on Facebook. If they
but what do you search? Is it the Kilmacrenan Fráiga Club?
Kilmacrenan Fráiga should bring it up. It's on my page. Maybe we could share it to the Highland Radio page.
Of course we will. Right. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
So there's a link there, and the tickets are €15 each. It's simple. Just put in the details. It's Eventbrite link. And book it from there. Yeah.
And in this day and age, it's cheap with the young ones paying 30 quid into
I know. I'm like going, is that too much? And John was like going, a bit much, Pamela. I was like, no.
But it's going to be good fun. You can see it's in the spirit of that. And do get dressed up and get your tickets. And as I say, reward the efforts of these young people already and the likes of Pamela Reid and the Kilmacrenan Fráiga Club in giving these 11 people a further leg up. Because the whole area is going to benefit from it.
Absolutely.
And you'd expect people to come from far and wide. Saturday night, what time does it kick off at?
10 o'clock.
Is there a slow set?
Well,
will there be a chance? Will there be a chance for romance?
It hasn't been asked for.
Well, it's no husband and wife we're asking for. So who was asking?
It actually was.
Oh, we're going to see renewed vows and stuff, aren't we? Right, okay. It's going to be good fun. Anyway, you can see it's going to be good fun. All right, okay. And Camille, it's amazing. So there was no Youth Fráiga Club until you got together as such recently,
no,
was there?
No Fráiga Club in the locality.
Which comes with the structures and
there is one in Letterkenny.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
But it's great. It has all the backing that, you know, and support is there when, as and when needed, you know. So they're very good with us.
Right, okay. Listen, Pamela, the best, that I hope it's packed. As I say, it's great if people buy tickets, but it's one of those ones, go as well. Do you know what I mean?
Cool,
go as
surely.
Well and have a bit of crack with it. Because you can tell it's going to be good fun. And we still haven't got chicken and chips confirmed, but Pamela seems somewhat optimistic. She's rushing down to the fancy dress now to get her purple tights and fishnets and headband. All right, okay. And also we can confirm it's incredibly likely that there'll be a slow set, a chance for romance. But leave as the principal at the school said, leave enough space there for the Holy Spirit. Don't get too close. All right. Okay. We're going to link that on our Facebook, Pamela. It's on the Kilmacrenan Fráiga Club. It's on Pamela Reid's as well. It's just €15 to support these 11 young people and have a great night of 80s and 90s nostalgia with DJ Bosco in the Mulroy Woods Hotel. Is there any walk-up opportunity or is it all ticket only?
Preferably ticket only.
Okay.
But
you want to know the numbers? Let us know on Friday.
Because we do need to. We do need
okay.
to know.
Okay. Let us know on Friday if you want.
Okay.
And we'll announce it. If
perfect.
Is that good?
Yeah.
All right,
fine.
Pamela Reid. Listen, thank you so very much indeed.
Thank you.
We really appreciate your time in here, and we'll be back talking about the rally. In fact, we're going to be talking about two of the rally winners after these. We have the Donegal International Rally winners in studio with us. They are Callum Devine and co-driver Noel O'Sullivan. Gentlemen, welcome into the studio. Congratulations to both of you. How does it feel?
It feels good, hey. Feels very good to, get our name on that trophy.
What went right for you over the weekend?
A couple of things all weekend. It was a good battle all weekend, 3 days. Probably the last day, just trying to stay out of baller, I would say.
And did you see, there was just a downpour in the afternoon. Were you in before that, or were you in that as well?
We were in the mix of it, so it was... obviously, some stages was dry, some stages was wet. It was just trying to, stuck in the mud lip, but we managed it all.
And for the layperson, what does that mean, like, in terms of tyre selection and what have you? I mean, what did you go out on and what problems could that have presented down the road?
We could have run into different problems, obviously, the wrong tyre on. But, I think we managed it okay with the tyre. I don't think there would have been a right tyre to be on. But we managed it all right. We're a soft slick, you know, but... Oh, we're happy.
You were on track to win last year. You're doing very well at the very least. You went out on day three. Did you expect to sort of bounce back and right that wrong, I suppose you could say? Not wrong on your behalf. These things happen the next year. I mean, that must be particularly satisfying.
Yeah, exactly. It probably makes this one a wee bit sweeter, so it does. And lifts a wee bit of a monkey off a shoulder, obviously, from last year. So, no, we were delighted this year. Yeah, we were delighted.
And although you had a bit of time to spare, you know, anything can happen. That can disappear very, very quickly, can't it?
Yeah, definitely can. I found out that the hard way last year, so we did. We were in the lead, and yeah, it can all go wrong very quickly.
Yeah, how was it? What did you think of the Donegal Town Ballyshannon element of the rally day one?
Brilliant, to be honest. I enjoyed the stages. They were quite different than what they usually are. Quite bumpy and quite narrow. But yeah, it was a good and it was nice we changed, obviously, from the usual. And yeah, it takes a letter Kenny for a day, which is a wee change.
So. Yeah, exactly. But what's your favourite stages, if you don't mind me asking?
Probably Nuckala or Fannad. They're two great stages. So they're two classics. So we had good runs over them too, so we're happy.
They're the staples. What was it like for you, Noel, on board?
I suppose it was calm inside in the car, like it normally is. But the last few stages are right, seemed like it would never end. We were hearing rattles and bangs out of the car that we haven't heard before. But yeah, it was great to get over the line. It was a bit of unfinished business after last year, but yeah, it was great. It was an awesome feeling.
Yeah, I would say so. Brilliant achievement. And Callum, you have Donegal connections as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I have cousins in Dunfanaghy, so we're doing stuff. So yeah, that's yeah.
And your dad also a rally driver?
He did, yeah. Seamus, he rallied back in the day too. So yeah, I've been coming to this rally since there was no height falling him as well. So yeah, it's the one, a special one to get.
Brilliant stuff. Oisin Kelly, our head of sport too, was all over it all weekend. And I should mention Kevin Galler's with us as well. We'll speak to you in a second, Kevin, if that's all right. But put into context this victory for Callum and Noel.
Well, it's huge for their careers, Greg. So does, we all know what Donegal means, rallying wise. It's the big one. It's the one that everybody wants to win. People would actually take one in the championship, or one in Donegal over one in the championship. It's that huge within the sort of rallying circles. And Callum's name is now alongside some of the great Irish drivers. That you look at Bertie Fisher, like Andrew Nesbitt, Manus Kelly. Callum Devine stuck in with all these names now, and the trophy and his name's going to be on it. And there was a car actually crossed the ramp yesterday. We were talking about beforehand, an Opel Adam, which as a car would have been used by younger drivers and juniors. And that exact car crossed the ramp yesterday. It's been driven by a guy from Bundoran. But Callum started out in that car with a dream of, I want to get to Donegal and I want to finish Donegal.
Yeah.
And now looking, how many years ago was that, Callum?
Yeah, 2016 or so.
2016, that's where he was. And now we're here in 2023 and this man's the top rally driver in the country at the minute because he's won Donegal. And Noel, of course, coming a long way from Kerry the whole way up to Donegal. And that means so much to him as well. But these guys have won three in the bounce in the championship now. Greg, they're the form team, so they are. And it's a fantastic victory for Callum because he's so much history with the event through his dad. He was here as a cub standing in fields watching his father Seamus drive round and various different pieces of machinery. And to have the scenes that we had yesterday down in Port Salon again was fantastic because the whole team was there, the family was all there, the tears was dripping Callum as he jumped out of the car. It's all part of it, so does Greg. It means so much. And there's one thing about the victory is it's a Callum and Noel's one is a very welcomed victory in Donegal. It's one that the fans will really have an attachment to.
It's a young man's game now. You might send a few older guys into retirement.
myself and Seamus McGettigan were talking about it yesterday in the car. If you look at some of the guys there, like Declan Boyle, Gareth McKeel, former winners, even Gary Jennings and Rory, who had a top 10 finish, trying to stay in the tails of these young boys. Like the likes of Callum and Josh Moffin. Now Josh unfortunately had that off yesterday and Fannad, which handed Callum a big lead, and it was just a matter of him getting the car home. And then to have the three-time British Rally champion Matt Edwards here as well was
if
huge.
If I remember correctly too, and I'm sure it's the same, Callum, I think last year's winners weren't happy that you went off, if you know what I mean. Like you want to beat the guys.
Yeah,
everyone finishing the finishing line. I'm remembering that correctly, aren't they?
Like, there's
no glory in it, like that. There's someone crashes off, even if they've a good lead, because you want to beat the best actually on the tower, don't you?
Oh, they do. But like for Callum, who last year went out in the first day, we were all wondering from a media point of view and fans, we're going, what is Callum Devine going to do now? He's leading the rally. There's just under 5 seconds on a Sunday. Josh Moffat's going to have the tail up because he put in good times, took chunks out of him on Saturday. And on the Sunday morning, used to see Andrew Nesbitt always do this, used to see the greats of Donegal do it. Let's make a statement on High Glen. Who's going to come out of High Glen? And we were talking about Killian and on the pace notes, and I read the prediction. If Callum Devine comes out of this, he's going to win Donegal. Mm. It took 7 seconds out of the man that was chasing him down in one stage. It took 13 seconds out of him in two. So the mentality from him at that stage on a Sunday morning telling the rest of them, hey, I'm going to take yous on here and I'm going to win this thing. It's up to yous now to catch me.
I won't get too deep in it, but I mean, there is a big psychological element to this column
it is.
Too, isn't there?
It is. Andrew Nesbitt was class at that sort of stuff. And he pulled it off yesterday. Fair play to Callum. He pulled it off yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can do the best you can do, Callum. Noel will do the best he can do. There's so many variables to get the car around, to keep the car on the road. Like, so much has to go right along with the skill and dedication to win an event like this, doesn't there, over the 3 days?
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things that have to go right. Look, I have a great team of guys around me too. There's a great team of guys around me too. We're keeping the gear going, you know, all weekend, and like, there's so many things that have to go right, as you say, tire choice, car running faultlessly, and everything, and then obviously, yeah.
You did it. All right. Also with us is Kevin Gallagher, retained the 2-wheel crown with Ryan Moore as navigator. Darien T90 GTR. Kevin, congratulations on your weekend.
Thank you.
What was it like for you?
Not a great weekend. We sort of pushed hard from the start and just kept the pressure on the whole way, so we were happy. We had a good, I suppose, comfortable lead sort of middays Saturday, so we just kind of kept the pressure on, and look, with no dramas, no hassle with the car. It was just a nice, clean weekend.
Yeah, it's nice when it goes like that, isn't it?
It is.
How did you find the new stages down south and obviously the old standards?
The new stages, actually, they're quite nice stages. Didn't quite suit the car because the car is a bit wider than some of the other cars at the rear end, but the first stage especially didn't suit us. But actually, I was kind of done with the game plan that if we came out sort of 20 seconds down, I would have been happy, but when we came out leading Friday evening, I was delighted.
Brilliant stuff. And you kind of have a double hat on too, because your company is involved in engines for your competitors. What talk to us about that.
We basically have a company, KGP Engineering, and we build basically engines and a lot of rally engines. So look, we probably had over 40 engines doing the rally as well. So look, you've kind of your company hat on, and you're out for the weekend's crack as well. Like, so no, it's good. Like, and with good results. Like, most of the, I think the top four or maybe five in the national all had my engines.
That's all right. It's a double win for you. All right. You have one of them, Callum? Do you?
Oh, I don't. We run different engines in my class, but
of course. Well, yeah. If I was Oisin Kelly, I'd have known that, but I'm not. right, obviously. Okay, good stuff. Right, well done, Kevin. What's next for you, Callum? Now, season wise, career wise, I mean, what are the targets for you?
Yeah, obviously we go back now to the Tarmac Championship. As Oisin says, we won the last three events now in the championship, and I think now we moved into the lead now ahead of Josh. So. Yeah, the next event for us is Cork, I think. So, yeah, we'll get ready for that. And, yeah, hopefully we can push on with the championship in there.
And where does Donegal stand in the rank of rallies that you want to win?
That's the pinnacle.
That's the one.
That's the one.
That's what we're going to do.
As you'll take this over anything, to be honest.
All right, Osh, a word from you, if that's all right. I mean, it's great that... everything passed off without incident.
Yeah. And congratulations, Damon, and his team, the COC. Yeah. They put on a big effort, and it was a very successful rally. And fair play to them; they ran it as best they could, and they got through it with no hiccups. And there was a large number of crews actually finished on the ramp yesterday, Greg. And listen, finishing Donegal means as much to the guy that was 90th on the road, and even coming fifth in his class, whatever it was, that means just as much to him as what one in Donegal does to Callum Devine. But now, fair play to the guys in the studio here, because the effort that they put in at the weekend was tremendous and fully deserving of their success.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And well done to you, Oisin, as well. Not that we like to pass our own backs, but well done. There's a lot in it to you, Chris.
We enjoyed following these boys.
Well, why do you moan so much in advance?
I don't give out. I don't.
All you do is cry. Donegal rally's coming up. No, he doesn't. Love
stop telling lies. It's not like that.
He absolutely.
Well done to Donegal.
Yeah, by the way, I know.
At the weekend.
Okay. Listen. Continued success. Callum, thanks so much for calling in. Really do appreciate it. The morning after. It's all different now, Osh, isn't it? Everyone's fresh.
Well, I'm fresh. These boys aren't.
All right. All right, okay.
I went home last night, Greg.
I want to know which I dropped and a sweet you're using, because I could do with some of them sometimes. All right, Callum Devine, co-driver Noel O'Sullivan, winners of the Donegal International Rally. Continued success and safety to you. And as well, Kevin, thank you so much for calling up. Congratulations, retaining the two wheel crown with Ryan Moore as navigator. Never easy retaining. It's always it's a nice thing.
Oh, it is, yeah, definitely. Look, we came close a few times to...
Is that three in a row or three in total?
No, that's
try and do three in a row next year.
Three in a row next year.
Two in a row, and I led it one other year and crashed. And Noel actually sat with me in 2018. We finished second, so we did that year. So I've kind of come close.
Well, it's all... I mean, Noel's obviously the secret here, isn't it? All right, gents, thanks very much. Callum, Noel and Kevin. Really appreciate you calling in, and thanks very much, Oisin, as well, and thanks to your team for keeping those of us who couldn't get around the various stages right across all the action. I mentioned Chris, didn't I? Did Chris, yeah, yeah. Seamus as well. 40 years he won it this year. This is the 40th anniversary, which is
40th
quite
anniversary.
Quite a remarkable achievement, isn't it?
It is, and he behaved himself all weekend.
That was
more like a chauffeur for...
This is a no-spin zone.
It was the president being driven around in the Highland Radio car. That's what it was at the weekend. So.
All right.
But at 40 years ago that they won it. So great memories for Seamus.
Remarkable achievement. All right, we'll be back with more shortly. Okay, now we have the end of the... Thanks again to the lads for calling up. We got Seamus in for a picture as well. Just different generations, isn't it? Seamus won it 40 years ago. Callum and Noel won it this year. And that 40-year gap bridged with a photograph. That'll be up on our social media very shortly. Fair play to the guys. All right, hi Greg. Rally supporters stayed in Holiday House besides me. You would not know they were there. Out early in the morning, in late at night, and they were great. Congratulations to Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan on achieving their lifelong ambitions. Though the life is not that long. Do you know, there comes a point, and I don't mean this patronising and full of praise, where... Do you know, you would aspire to do something, like maybe be a rally driver or a footballer or something, and then you interview the guys that are at the top, and they're so young and young and talented. But anyway, congratulations to Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan on achieving their lifelong ambition. Callum is an absolute gentleman and always gives freely of his time to the rally followers, even in the heat of the battle. Congratulations to the Donegal Motor Club on a fantastic and safe event. And indeed, and I would say particularly with the young people, because young guys and girls look up to these guys. They're absolute heroes, and it's lovely that they give access there. Greg, compliments to the owners of a house we stood outside to watch the rally. They brought out tea, buns and chocolate. They could not do enough. Their hospitality was second to none. A spectator from Killarney who acknowledges this, saying it was unbelievable. That comes in from John. John, great. Hopefully you had a great time. And that is the kind of hospitality you can enjoy up here, of course. Hi Greg, I was in Letterkenny on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, and not a lot of guards on the road, only Sunday, and they were standing smoking and chatting to each other. I don't like things, people being categorised like that, were they really? But anyway, listen, I appreciate it, but I read it anyway, okay, to each other. The rally brings out revenue to Letterkenny economy. Without it, a lot of business would not survive. Yes, there is some antisocial behaviour and there are some bad people and don't know how to use the bin, but I'm sure it's a small price to pay as long as everyone is safe. Thanks, Greg. And that's the thing. We got through Monday and we're talking about all the competitors, and we shouldn't underestimate either the nervousness for the competitors' families as well, because it's a dangerous sport, and we've had our all too shocking and sad reminders of that. So when we get all of the rally crews home and safe, we get all the spectators home and safe, and hopefully now all the people that came up to different events get home and safe. That's a big tick for me as well. People driving around all day and night for the rally have cars. Those can hold things like rubbish while they drive it 2 kilometres towards a bin 2 hours later. No need to drop it on the ground. There's no need for anyone to litter at any time, is there? Go anywhere in Europe and you'll find bins everywhere. In my town, they took away bins and have replaced them. Have not replaced them. It's not just the rally that causes the traffic problems in Letterkenny. In this country, we blame everything on the people who come to enjoy these events instead of looking at primary cause. Bins, there seems to be a policy that bins attract rubbish and they're taken out of places. That to me is an admittance that you're not going to clean them, really. You're not going to empty them. So you don't have the resources to empty them. So what do? You don't put them there in the first place. Crazy. Wait till all the cars go electric. Some noise, please. Can you imagine? don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Tell the begrudgers to get over it. It was a great weekend. There are traffic jams in Letterkenny every day. That's a point. There is, isn't there? It's not like it's all free-flowing traffic outside a rally weekend. Another, all the shops, not all the shops, but some shops, they suggest put up prices for beer for rally weekend. Would they do that? I don't know. Maybe there's extra costs. Seems a little unfair if that's what was happening. And I just want to give you a perspective into how busy this show can be here. We've got pages and pages and pages of comments. And I think sometimes when I don't get to a comment, people think we edit them. We don't. We read them all, unless there's something defamatory in there, of course. But I read the ones that are critical of the programme. I generally don't read the ones that are praising of it, but that's just to give the balance. I'm going to go through some comments on different things now, just as we head up towards the news at 12. We are all well on our way to becoming part of NATO. The refugees coming into Ireland are the new front line for this EU army. The government know the Irish aren't going to allow their boys and men to be allowed to become cannon fodder. It would be political annihilation. Nobody would support such a thing. I don't go with you on that one, but I appreciate your comment. Four hand-picked panels of pro-war professionals. This is a major gaffe by the government, I hope. Would we hear all this negativity after the Northwest 200? No, we wouldn't. All they want is for the young people to spend their money all weekend. Closing car parks, which is blocking the streets. Letterkenny not very welcoming. A caller says they were stuck at the Manor roundabout to try and get up to the hospital and were stuck in traffic for 2 hours, missed visiting hours, guards standing on the road, arms folded. What was the point in the guards being there if they weren't going to do anything about the traffic? Another, opening up the car parks, a good idea, but who's going to clean up afterwards? A caller's front garden was littered with her hanging baskets broken and destroyed in Letterkenny. This is the side of the rally that is an absolute disgrace, and it's the same every year with nothing being done about it. Another, we live on the main road between Bridgend and Farn, and what we had to listen to all weekend was a disgrace. The noise of cars at all hours of the day and night. Their driving and speeding was a total disgrace. And again, the criticism of the Gardaí, not a guard to be seen. Thank God it's over, they say. I was just listening to the news and it seems that a Fianna Fáil TD was complaining about me, Michael D, having an opinion on Irish neutrality. What's the point in having a president if he can't have an opinion? Maybe it's time to get rid of the president and Fianna Fáil for that matter, because this government is going to get Ireland in a whole heap of trouble. We know now what the Ukraine people are suffering with the war. We had 3 days of noise and baking. Ukraine has this banging for the last year and it's more dangerous, so we've nothing to complain about at all, says a listener. Another, did the closure of half of the business parks add to the traffic issues? I thought it was very unwelcoming to our visitors to see many closed off. Why not do like the car park in McDonald's and fence it off so you could only park and not do any diffing? Another, half of the issue at the weekend is the town simply couldn't take the volume of traffic. That's the council issue. We don't forward plan our roads. Any other town would warmly welcome this massive crowd for 3 days. And last one, because it's the only one we have time for. The rally is 72 hours. Come on, people. We cry about young people. Here was a large group of boys and girls who were very proud of their cars and spend a lot of money on them. Where is the harm? Considering the large crowds, I think the volume who were misbehaving was very, very minimal. Or some might say the detection was minimal. But again, you know, it depends on what side of the argument you come down on. I want to thank Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the programme. Niamh Shields working hard on the show as well. Stay tuned. John Breslin is coming up around the Northwest.